Hi, and welcome to the special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. We are going to have a spooky time as we talk about scary things authors should and shouldn't do with my good friend, Ben Wolf. I am so excited to have him, and we'll get to him in just a few moments. For those of you wondering when my next release will be, I will be releasing the next book in the Blizzard Bride series called A Groom for Agatha that is set to release on October 26th. Then the next month, November 9th, I will be releasing A Groom for Ruth. And that will be the end of my contribution to the best-selling Blizzard Bride series. If you want to find out how it all began, go ahead and get your copy of the first book in the series. As always, we want to thank our sponsors for their support. We want to give a shout out to Christian Book Club for always supporting us. To find out how they can help you build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net. I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, Ben Wolf. Ben, how are you doing today?
Hey, Parker, how are you doing today? I'm doing great.
I am so glad that you took time to be here with me today. It's been a minute since we last talked, and when we were coming up with the idea for the show, I was just so excited to talk to you again. Interesting seeing your career go into a whole different path. Your whole books are changing, and it's been beautiful, and I'm so excited I get to see that change in your career. So I definitely want our listenership to have an idea of who you are and what you write. And then we're going to get into this topic about scary things authors should and shouldn't do. So go ahead and reintroduce yourself to our listeners today.
Hey, everybody. I'm Ben Wolf. I'm a two-time award-winning author, one for a children's book and one for a Christian horror novel. And I've got, around 15-ish books published across a range of genres, including sci-fi, fantasy, horror, Christian, and children's books. So I'm kind of all over the place, but that suits me pretty well because I'm borderline ADD. And I just really enjoy writing what I feel like writing and trying to find a home for it.
I love reading your books. You know, I loved your book, your Christian horror book. It was Blood for Blood. I love that.
Thank you.
When I first really started to interact with you as a writer, it was through Blood for Blood. And I did a live reading with you. Even though I didn't call it that at the time, I was just bothering you while you were at the conference when I was reading Blood for Blood because I really enjoyed it, you know.
Thank you.
And now your repertoire has just increased over the time as you write for both authors to help them get better at this thing called being an author and some of your other works that you do. So you just, like you said, all over the place. You have an eclectic fictional catalog that people can really enjoy. So I'm really excited about that. But in keeping with the theme of the month, which is, you know, scary things that people should and shouldn't do, particularly authors, let's talk about it because some people may say, well, what scary thing should I do? Let's talk about that. The first scary thing I think authors should do is what, Ben?
Finish your book. Absolutely. It's got to be finishing your book because if you don't finish your book, what else is there to do? Like what else? My brain can't even compute. Like if you don't finish your book, what are you even doing this for? That's my challenge to all the authors out there. You have to finish your book. It's terrifying, but trust me, I've finished a whole bunch of books at this point. And when you're finishing the third book in a series and it's the last book in that series that you'll ever write, that's probably the scariest writing related thing I've ever done. But I tell you what, when you finish that book, you experience a release and a freedom that is absolutely unparalleled. And then you can actually go out and eventually sell the book. So you've got to finish your book.
It's interesting that you said it is terrifying to finish your book, particularly for first-time authors who are working on a piece of fiction or nonfiction, a memoir, book collection, poetry. They are terrified to finish it because now you don't have an excuse anymore. Talk about that, Ben.
A lot of times authors are really, really great at making up excuses. We make up excuses why we didn't get more writing done. We make up excuses why our books aren't selling. We make up excuses why we don't want to finish the book, why we don't advertise, why we don't do all these other things. Finishing your book removes a lot of the opportunity for you to even make excuses. If you finish your book, then you have something to show people and you can get real-time feedback from readers, whether they're beta readers or editors or just normal readers, you can get that feedback from them and then you can take that and use it to rework the rest of your writing from that point forward. And that is a scary thing because no one really enjoys being criticized, whether the criticism is mean-spirited or not. And hopefully, of course, it's not mean-spirited. Either way, that criticism, it's what's going to help you grow. If you get a bad review on a book, or if a beta reader says, you know, I didn't really like this part, you can take that information and figure out how to apply it to your writing going forward. It's a terrifying thing, but it's also a beautiful thing because it helps you grow. It helps you mature as an author. It helps you get better, helps you better target your target audience. The benefits are outstanding, but if you don't finish anything, then how are you going to have access to some of those things?
What a great point to make, Ben, because when you do finish it, the stress as well. And
yeah.
Some people are used to having that pressure. I am one of those people who tends to write under pressure because I need the deadline. I need the consequence looming before me. Now, some people may say that's not healthy, and I agree with you. But for me, that constantly pushes me to finish my projects. At the end of the day, I want to get that book done so I can go on to the next book. Speaking of that, when you finish your book, a scary thing that you shouldn't do is what, Ben?
I would say you shouldn't create your own book cover. And I know you have some thoughts about this, Parker.
I have so many thoughts about it. Authors want to say, I don't have any money, so I'm going to create my own cover.
Right.
But they don't take the time to learn the industry. They want to throw a cover together and just say, well, you have to accept it, particularly with Christian authors. You have to accept it because God told me to write this book. That's all well and good. I'm not knocking that, and I would never knock that. But at the same time, why do you want to give poor quality that you say that comes from the Lord to somebody else? That irritates me to no end. But I don't want to get irritated because then I'll take over the show. We'll run out of time, things of that nature. But what are some of your thoughts when it comes to authors who create their own covers without learning the industry or how to do an effective cover?
Simply put, Parker, it's a misstep. It's a missed opportunity, more than a misstep, because I have worked with probably at least a half dozen cover designers over the years, maybe more, probably more like a dozen. And I can tell you that having a great cover on your book really is transformative for your book sales, for how people perceive the book as a product and as something that they want to consume. Man, it's just so important to have an excellent book cover. If you don't, then just assume your book is not going to sell, because really that's the reality. The old adage, don't judge a book by its cover, is an adage because everyone does judge books by their cover. When it comes to people, yeah, of course, try not to judge people by their outward appearance. But when it comes to books, literally that is why books have covers. It's so that you can prejudge it and make a decision about whether or not it's something you want to learn more about or possibly even read. So if you don't get your book cover right, you might as well just give up and not even try to publish the book. Got to have the book cover right.
In this world where you are competing with thousands of books, you have to understand you have 3 seconds to capture someone's attention. And some people said 10. I said, no, I think it's 3 because our attention span is dwindling as we're trying to process all this information. And because we're not the binars yet, but we're connected to our computers
right.
Via some monstrosity of a microchip or whatever, we have to look and see, do I want to read that? It's the same concept like clickbait titles, because you want people to click on that article and read it. So you get a catchy title for the same purpose. They want you to read it. So you may not read 7 ways for you to make sure you clean your house up. Okay, that sounds okay. But then you go, stop
right.
being lazy. 7 ways to be lazy and clean up at the same time. Well, that interests me more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how can I be lazy and clean up? I would love to be able to do that. But it's just a bait title to get you to click on it. What are your thoughts as we continue on that subject?
Oh, absolutely. The title is super, super important. And the title, the typography that you use on the book cover or that your designer uses, it all works together. And I fully agree with you on that 3 seconds bit. I do a lot of live events, and we have a pretty impressive display whenever we show up to do a live event. And because our book covers are so good, whenever people walk past, I can see it in their eyes, Parker. They either notice what we have and they kind of have a wow moment, or they keep walking. And that tells me that they're just probably not readers, or they're not interested in the genre of books that I write. It makes sense to have an excellent cover and an excellent presentation, an excellent outward presentation of your books, because that's what's going to attract people. So I fully agree with you. And if you have a link to that article about 7 ways to clean up and still be lazy, I'd love to read it.
Oh, no, that made that up on the spot.
I know.
Literally, right? But if
please,
I find it,
write it,
I will definitely send it to you.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Another thing, too, because I don't want to exhaust the topic, really, but I do have to mention this. When you're creating a book cover, you need to have the general appeal of the genre in your mind as well, because
yeah,
within that 3 seconds, people tend to read what they already read. Like, I'm a romance reader, so I'm going to read romance. Now, if you put a cover that's romantic, I'm going to be drawn to that. There are certain beats I need to see that shows that book is a romance. One of the things that I've seen authors do, they say, well, the message of the book has to be on the cover. And I get it to an extent. This one gentleman, he was like, but it has, we were in a private conversation, and he said, it has to have a cup. And it wasn't a cup, I'm just being vague.
Sure.
We have to have a cup on this book. It has to have a cup because the cup is so important to the message. However, everyone who was looking at different samples of the book covers design artist sent to him said, oh, this cover that's solid black with nice typography is the one. And he goes back, but the cup has to be there. I said, no one cares about the cup. Okay.
Right.
No one cares. And I'm so frustrated with the guy. And then I told him, I said, look at saleability. Unless you don't want to sell your book, look at saleability. 9 people out of 10 were drawn to that cover without the cup. And one of the things I see some fiction authors do, they put all these elements on the cover and it's crowded. And I'm not a fan of a crowded cover.
Right.
Or they want to put, like, let's say a cup, then a key ring, and then a paper clip, and
yep,
then something weird. And you're like, what's this book about? Again, you have to think, I got 3 seconds to capture your attention. I want you to think that you know what this book is about quickly, but don't mislead the reader either. Now, the next thing that we think authors should do that is scary is advertising. And
yes,
this is something I think people are scared to do. For one reason, they don't want to spend money needlessly, or they say, I want to get a return on my investment. And that return on their investment is simply buy my book. And I don't want to spend money on advertising to do that. And so a lot of authors do free outlets of advertising. I am not saying don't continue to do that, but eventually you have to put your money where your mouth is. Let's talk about that, Ben.
The book cover is your book's first advertisement. And so from that book cover onward, everything you're doing, whenever you show your book to anyone, whether it's in a free Facebook post or you're posting it on Instagram, or you showed up at a live event and you've got your books on your table, that book cover is advertising your book. So that's part one. Second part is, yes, you do have to be willing to spend money on advertising. Again, I mentioned that I do a lot of live events, and one of the most important things that we've done that has brought us success, and when I say we, I mean my wife and I, Carice Crow, because she's also an author. One of the most important things that she and I have done is we've taken the cover art assets, the individual assets, so the background, the forefront image, the typography, our author names, that type of stuff, and we have repurposed those into creating some really incredible displays. So we've got tablecloths with the background from my Blood Mercenaries series printed on it. We've got table runners for some of our individual series of books. We've got freestanding banners. We've got a giant author banner that sits behind us. We've got little things too. We've got postcards. We've got magnets. All of these are branded with stuff from our books to create a cohesive feel and an appealing presentation for anyone who is walking by. And so as far as live events go, we're getting a lot of use out of the individual assets from our book covers to be able to make that work. That translates really well in the online advertising too, because again, if you have a great book cover, you can request from the artist or the designer the individual assets to then turn around and use those assets to create really good looking, captivating, attractive online ads too, that will hopefully grab people's attention and make them more interested in buying your book. So all of that costs some money. It costs money to get these big displays printed. It costs money to get little postcards printed. costs money to put up an ad on Facebook or on Google or anywhere else, but how else are you going to get people to find your book? It's not like the old days where you've got a publisher who's going to dump tens of thousands of dollars on marketing you and putting your book in magazines and in newspapers and setting up book fairs for you to go to or signing events. Those days are gone, unfortunately. So the advertising, it sinks or swims based on what you are able to put into it.
Thank you so much, Ben, for really rounding out that conversation piece about advertising, because it is a scary thing that authors are afraid to do because they don't want to waste money. And I truly understand that our money is finite for those of us who work 9 to 5 or we have content creation jobs that we're doing and duties of that nature. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that, but it's okay to step out on faith and do something scary like advertising. So that's why what you want to do to help mitigate the fear of spending money recklessly and not seeing a return on investment is to talk to people who are already doing that same thing. Ask for advice. Make sure you go to people and say, hey, have you heard about this advertising company? Have you heard about this publishing coach? Have you heard about this whatever that's going to help you with your marketing that you want to do? So don't be afraid to advertise, even though it is a scary thing to do.
Start small, too. You don't have to have a multi-thousand dollar advertising budget right out of the gate. You can start with $5 a day or even less. You can start with $5 a month if you need to. Just getting your book out there on some of these online platforms where readers are already at, like Amazon AMS ads, Amazon Marketing Service ads, that's another good place to advertise. If you can just invest a little bit of money on the outset, then when you start making money, when you start seeing a return, you can then reinvest that money and do a little bit more advertising. Maybe you go up to $10 a month or 50 or 100. I know authors who are spending north of $1,000 per month on advertising. Some of them are spending north of $10,000 a month on advertising because they are selling a boatload of books. You don't have to start with $10,000 a month. You can start small and you can build it up. That's a good thing to do. It shows that you're a good steward of the resources that the good Lord has given you. And then you can begin to show an increase. The parable of the talents comes to mind. Just give that a reread and then try to apply those principles to your advertising budget.
The scary thing that we should do is live events. Dun, dun, dun. You know, because with most of the authors I know, they're introverts. Doing live events can possibly, all this prep work we've talked about should and shouldn't do, lead to this moment where I'm going to look and be in the same vicinity as a live person. They are there, or maybe they're aliens undercover for my spec fiction authors, okay? But they're going to be at your book signing. They're going to be at your live event at these conferences and these shows that I put on throughout the year. Oh my gosh, that's quite terrifying to do a live event. But you, sir, have help for us. So tell us what that help is.
I do have help. I actually published a book on Tuesday, October 5th, called Power Author, A Quick Guide to Mastering Live Events. And it is a comprehensive breakdown of pretty much everything I know about how authors can find live events, do live events effectively, convert readers into lifelong fans, and make some money along the way.
Well, that's a pretty tall order that you have there. So now I have questions for you, because most people are going to be surprised when I say this, but I have never done a live event. I've never done a live book signing. You may think, well, you should be like the creme de la creme of the person doing that. And I'm not afraid at all. I just haven't done it. I just haven't done that. I have no idea why.
Sure, sure.
Maybe it's a introvert flare-up that I may be having. Maybe the flare is keeping me from doing that. But it's a great segue to my questions about doing live events. Particularly last year, we had the pandemic, so no one was going anywhere. And being an introvert was a little more difficult because if you have a family, they were there too. And you couldn't have that recharge moment for yourself. So let's talk about this. So what made you want to write a book on live events for authors?
The main reason that I wrote a book on live events for authors was because I am pretty terrible at selling books online. I just haven't figured out the advertising piece of it. I've got the book covers part figured out, but the actual creation of the ads and the targeting of the ads, I just haven't mastered that yet. But one thing that I was pretty good at and have always been pretty good at, because like you, Parker, I'm an extrovert, is presenting myself and presenting my work before other people. Ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to be on stage. I wanted to be the center of attention. And so all of that has kind of fed into the ability for me to go out and do live events and be successful with them. And so the reason that I created this book is because I have found success doing live events on a level that makes sense for me to be able to try to share some of the principles that I know for a fact work when you're doing a live event. And so I wanted to create this book in order to share those types of things with other authors.
So what are your goals when you do a live event?
Well, of course, one of the goals is to make money. If you're doing a live event and you're not making money, sometimes I hear authors say, oh, well, I'm just writing it off as a marketing expense. And that's fine. But that should be your worst case scenario. You should be at a point where you can actually make a profit from doing a live show. If not, then something is wrong. And the book addresses a variety of different approaches and elements and topics that maybe you can look at and decipher whether or not something is or isn't working. But first of all, yes, you definitely want to make some money. If you're not making money, then honestly, maybe you shouldn't be doing live events. If it's not paying off for you, then write the next book instead and get good at advertising online. My other goal, and probably even more important than the making money aspect, is to make lifelong fans. The way that I do that is by creating a positive, entertaining, and fun reader experience for anyone who comes up to my booth. Whether they buy or not, my goal is to make sure that they have a good time chatting with me, a good time looking at my books, and that they leave interested in what I've said and hopefully with some books in their bag. But if not, that's okay too. It really boils down to those two things, making money at a live event and then making lifelong readers. And if you can do those two things, you'll have a lot of longevity in the business as far as live events are concerned.
You know something, Ben? I do realize I did do a live event this year, my first
Good.
Year. I went to Deadwood. And I did make money at that event, and I sold out of all my inventory.
Nice.
So I did my very first one. I was quite successful, even though I had no expectations of being successful, because
right.
I was a sweet author in a realm of erotica authors. So how is that going to sell anything? But the few people that came to my table, one lady said, oh, you are exactly what I am looking for. And she bought my books. And yeah, so I have done a live event, but I went in there cold turkey, not really expecting anything. My presentation was abysmal. Like, if you saw my table, I had bookmarks and I think Hershey Kisses on the table. And they weren't even mine. My girlfriend, Lynn Donovan, had given them to me.
Nice.
So, but I did sell out my inventory. I didn't have much, but I sold it out. And I'm really glad that this resource is available for our authors, because then you don't have to, you know, go by the luck of the draw, if you will, or by, you know, God's grace. He just pours it on you. I'll help you out this day, Parker. You know, he'll just pour it out for you, you know. But my third question really is, so authors really can make money at live events. And some people are very skeptical of the idea, because they have the idea they're just sitting down at a table and people are walking by never to see them ever again. So expand on that for me.
Well, making money at live events really goes back well before you even show up to the live event. A lot of this works if you are able to organize your writing career properly. And so what I mean by that is you've got to make sure that the print copies you're buying, you're getting them at a good rate. You have to make sure that you're pricing them high enough that you get a good, that you make a good margin on the book when you sell it. And you have to make sure that all your extraneous expenses, you know, your gas, your lodging, if it's an overnight stay at any point, your setup for your booth, your table costs, any displays and accessories that you purchase, like Hershey's Kisses or bookmarks or magnets or whatever, you have to factor all those things in. And if you have done those things correctly, then the next piece of making the money is, again, providing that really engaging and interesting and fun reader experience. And then, of course, selling some books. If you don't sell books, you won't make any money. If you don't make long-term fans, you won't make any money in the long term. So you've got to set things up in the beginning to make sure that you're set up for success. And then when the day of the event comes, you've got to be on your game. You've got to be, for the most part, standing up and ready and willing to engage people who are walking by, especially if they look at your booth and they're kind of like walking past with that curious look in their eye, like, whoa, that kind of looks cool. You've got to be willing to say, hey, come on over and take a look, and then show them your books. And if you can start doing those things at your live events with that excellent preparation on the front end, you're definitely going to make some money.
Well, that's solid advice there, and I would have benefited from that when I did my Deadwood showing. And I'm actually glad that you're talking about this, because I can see where I can improve for the next time. What are your top three tips for authors' live events?
Well, we already talked about the importance of cover art, so I won't belabor that too much, but I'll just say make sure you have absolutely killer, top-end, amazing, well-branded, on-genre book cover art. If you have that, then everything about the live events process is easier, because as I alluded to earlier, you can take some of the background assets, some of the individual image assets, and use those to create different displays and postcards and handouts and all sorts of cool stuff that will grab people's attention and make them want to come over. So that's number one, is have really great book cover art, not just on one book or two books, but on every single book that you are presenting at your event. The second thing is, I would say, handout magnets. And the reason that I like magnets so much, and I'm talking about little flat magnets that have your book cover on them, basically. The reason I like magnets so much is that people go home and they stick that magnet on their fridge and it stays there. So your book is constantly being advertised to them for somewhere between 13 and 25 cents per magnet. And they see it every day. Maybe it's not always at the forefront of their mind, but if that magnet is holding up their monthly calendar or their kid's drawing from school and they want to take a look at it, your magnet is right there. Your book cover is right there, constantly advertising for free for you, because you've already paid that small price to get that magnet in their hands and then, of course, on their fridge. And I prefer magnets because magnets get used. They don't get thrown away. They get placed typically in a prominent place, and you see them almost forever. I know the last time I moved, our refrigerator magnets came with us. And they just went on the new fridge. So it's not like, oh, well, we're moving, I'm going to throw away all of our old magnets and we'll get new ones. Doesn't really happen, in my opinion. A magnet exists in that space indefinitely. And so if you can have an indefinite advertisement in someone's house for your book or for your author name so that they can look you up and find what other books you have, it's absolutely invaluable. And so that's why that's my second tip. And then my third tip would be, simply put, your goal at these events should be to bond over books. I'm going to say that again, bond over books. Your goal is to bond with people passing by over books, specifically over your books. But if they're not familiar with your books right away, then what you want to do is bond with them over something else. It could be another set of books. Maybe it's the Harry Potter series, or it's a romance series that you like, or whatever genre that you write in. See if you can find that common ground. If not books, then movies. Sometimes if people are walking past and I like what they've got on their t-shirt, I say, hey, I really like your t-shirt. That's pretty awesome. Especially if it's got Godzilla on it. That gets me every time, because I'm a big Godzilla fan.
Amen.
If you're not, then I feel sorry for you, whoever you are listening. Everybody should love Godzilla. Okay, Godzilla rant over. Back to bonding over books. Make sure you bond over books, because if you can do that, that is what really will serve to help create that incredible and memorable and fun reader experience that I keep mentioning. So those are my three tips. Have killer book cover art, hand out magnets with your book cover art on it and with your author name, and preferably your website too. And then bond over books. If you can do those things, then you will probably have a pretty successful foray into the world of live events for authors.
Those are some great tips that you gave me and our listeners, Ben, because it really does come to that personal interaction that people have. And there are people worried about personal interaction because of the pandemic, things of that nature. But when you can get back out there, you know, and have that tactile interaction with a person, it's just amazing. What do you say the reader experience is the most important part of your interaction with people at live events?
Absolutely, because if you go in there and you're just focused on, I need to sell books, sure, you'll sell books, but you run the risk of being a jerk about it, and that isn't going to get people to be, it's not going to help them become a long-term fan, and that's the goal. And I've seen this play out multiple times at live events where I have provided an interesting, fun, and engaging, memorable experience for my readers. And then the next time I'm at the same event, if it's an annual event or if there's another event in the same town, they show up again and they talk with me some more and then they buy more books. You've got to focus on making sure that the reader, the potential buyer, has a great experience with you. You've got to make it fun. You've got to be conversational. If you're an introvert, this might be hard, but take an acting class. Talk to your extrovert friends and get tips on what they do. And if you can find something to nerd out about or geek out about that you're passionate about and share that with another person, then it becomes a lot easier because the enthusiasm is genuine. It doesn't have to come from a place where you're kind of faking it, because if we're being honest, sometimes you have to do that in sales. If you can figure out a way to interact with readers in a way that really dignifies them and makes them feel validated and seen, that's the trick. That's the super dark and wonderful secret of being successful at live events of any sort, is just make sure that the reader has a great experience.
What's the weirdest type of live event you've ever done?
Wow. This weekend might be it. I am setting up just outside the gift shop at a haunted house.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I've got a sci-fi horror trilogy. So that's the connection there. And my fantasy series is sword and sorcery and kind of dark fantasy too. So that's another sort of tenuous connection. A lot of people who like horror would potentially also be interested in dark fantasy. So I'm setting up it's in the building, but it's like people go through the haunted house. It's called Factory of Fear, and it's in East Moline, Illinois. And I'm super excited about it because people will go through this factory, do the haunted house stuff, and then on the way out, they hit the gift shop. And then on the way out of the gift shop, they hit this very small vendor area where a couple of us are going to be set up with our wares and our books and fun stuff like that. So my hope is that I'll be able to make some new readers from the haunted house crowds that are going to be there. So that definitely has potential to be my weirdest event. Before that, I would say probably my weirdest event. You know, I do a lot of craft shows, and what's weird about them is that surprisingly, we tend to do pretty well at craft shows. You wouldn't necessarily think, oh, I'm an author, I'm going to go set up at a craft show, a craft or a maker show. But actually, we found that the overlap between the craft and maker audience and the people who like homemade, locally made goods, there's a lot of overlap between those people and people who like to read books. They're sort of the same sort of people. And so one thing that I can tell authors is if you're looking to do some local live events, maybe try to get into a local craft show, especially if you're the only author there. That can be a real benefit to you, and it can be a nice, easy introduction to live events. So that's my answer for that. That craft shows are weird in the sense that I wouldn't have normally thought, well, hey, maybe I should give this a try. And then I tried one, and it was great. It was a huge success. So it was weird in that regard, but I think it's definitely worth trying for a lot of authors.
And for more information, you can pick up Ben's book today called Power Author, A Quick Guide to Mastering Live Events. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And it's also part of a series called Power Author. And Ben is working on the series to really help authors be good at what they're doing, which is to be an author. So he has a lot of industry experience, a lot of personal experience. He's made the mistakes. He's done a lot of the hard work, so you don't have to. So go ahead and pick up your copy of Power Author, A Quick Guide to Mastering Live Events today. So Ben, in the few moments we have left, I want to say thank you so much for helping me with unpacking scary things authors should and shouldn't do, with ending with that live component of interacting with the readers. But what are some encouraging words you can tell our authors who may be scared to use the gift that God gave them and pick up the pen and write?
My advice to you is to sit down, get your butt in the chair, and do the work. It's hard, it's scary, it can be outright terrifying at times. But that's not an excuse for you to not do it. We saw what happened in the Bible when Jonah decided he wasn't going to do what God told him to do. And I don't know about you, but I am terrified of things in the water coming to try to eat me. So I would much rather just be obedient to God. My advice to you along that front is to try to build up some sort of routine. Everybody's different. For me, I've found that writing late at night is what works for me. I know a lot of authors write early in the morning. My wife is crazy. She will write only on the weekends and she'll bang out 10,000 word days. And just recently we discovered that that works for her and it's been going great. Again, back to my advice, do the work, try to establish some sort of routine and be worried about it later. Don't be worried about it when you're doing the actual writing. Try to have fun. Try to open up your soul and pour it out onto the page. If you can do that, not only will you have great potential at creating something that is awesome and lasting and God-honoring and amazing, but you'll also get stuff done. I just want to encourage all of you. I believe in you. I know you can do it. Don't give up. Keep chasing your dreams. Keep following God's will for your life.
Ben, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here with me today to talk about these wonderful, scary things that people shouldn't and shouldn't do. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you so much, Parker. It's been absolutely a pleasure.
And we were talking today to Ben Wolf. He is the author of the Hot Off the Press release, Power Author, A Quick Guide to Mastering Live Events, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So I want you to be encouraged that you can do live events. Ben has done all the work, so make sure you pick up this wonderful craft book and add it to your library. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.